All right, could you please tell us your name?
So I'm David Mayer, an internal medicine specialist, but particularly infectious diseases, working at the Makerere University College of Health Sciences, but also with the Infectious Diseases Institute, where I do most of my research.
So thank you, Dr. Mayer, for agreeing to be on our podcast. I think we'll be talking about success, peace and hope. Mm-hmm. And so we'll start with, how do you define success to you?
Success, that's a tough one. I think success is very, I think it's in, it can be individual, just based on the way an individual interprets either what sets out what goals they wanted to achieve. So there's that, I think there's that aspect of success. But I think there's also the aspect of how society views success. Mm-hmm. And so I suppose, you know, the natural things are what we tend to gravitate to. What do you own? What do you have in terms of assets? And I guess to some people, having more and more of those things might be deemed success for them. But I think it doesn't always mean that you are successful the more assets you have. I think success can also be considered as just being content with what you have and what you're doing as well. So I suppose it can have different meanings for different people.
Yeah, and to you?
Personally, I think one is, my faith is important. So I think walking by what the Bible teaches, I think for me, and finishing well, I think is that, I would consider that success. And being able to demonstrate and live that out. Success, I mean, as a scientist, I suppose, contributing to, especially in the clinical field, being able to understand how to treat people better and improve their outcomes from disease. But I think the other aspect for me is being able to mentor young people who then go on to success, define success in their own way. I think that would be success. I think those are of course, the other important thing is, you know, when I talked about finishing well, family. I think that's important as well. And being able to have an excellent marriage, being able to raise children, who then go on to have their own impact, I think is, so that's success.
Okay, so you've talked around about so many things about success and how you define it. And so you've talked about faith, family, and contributing and mentoring and your people. We'll just go through slowly some of the things. And so the first thing is, like, how do you make sure that your family, for example, views that what you're doing is successful, and like how do you teach that to your children, and how do you help them to come to a realization of at least a different version of success, but then they have some sort of grounding?
I mean, being a father is tough. I think one, you need to have your own, so I need to be able to define my own values, right? And then I think success would be taking those values and being able to cultivate them in my children, right? And obviously when we say values, they have to be good values. that you're able to cultivate those in your children. And I think that's a process that takes time, right? It takes investing time. And I think many times we're always talking about the work-life balance. I think my children would... There's this story of I think a guy who dies and at his funeral, I think there, you know, somebody's talking about all the incredibly wonderful things he did, and none of, and everybody's, all his children, I think, are surprised. Oh, our father did that, you know. And I think being able to share, you know, as a father, that the things that you, I would consider important in my life, whether that's achievements or what I would consider success. And I think sharing that with my children, agreeably, they might not necessarily view that as success for them, depending on what they go on to do. But I think, you know, the ability to demonstrate impact on them, just in terms of shaping their character, I think is more important than saying, oh, you know, we have these X number of papers in the New England Journal of Medicine. So, yeah, I think that's where that balance has to be maintained. Agreeably, yeah, I have to work hard. But so, is it the, I think, is it the, do they see me working hard or treating their mother in a particular way and sort of them seeing those things? I think that's what taking those values and getting the children to learn them, I think that's what it involves. The demonstration of the good values.
So then, because like, since after you teach your children how to be, I think, the good values and show them, and they choose whatever they want to choose, and then, but then they grow up to be in the society, right? So how would you, like, then, how would you infer, how would you describe Ugandan, like, the Ugandan way of life, like, to you, how do you see it?
I mean, I think if you ask somebody in my generation that question, you probably get a different answer if you ask somebody who's in a totally different generation. But I think, you know, growing up in Uganda has, I think it's just been an amazing experience. And particularly if you're able to travel to other places and just experience the way other people live their lives. There are things, I think, that are easy to take for granted here. You know, just the social interactions, for example, or the ability for... that. I think it's community, right? It's very easy to take it for granted because you sometimes go to other places and it's not quite the same, right? Everybody is expected to manage on their own. And that's... that's starting to change a little bit here. And you can't really say that that's based on... Well, I mean, the question is it when people become more successful, do they become more individualistic? You could say that the argument could be that, oh, because we sort of live in a society where, you know, the economy is tough, that people then... adjust by being able to support one another. And then as people become more affluent, that, you know, the expectation is that everybody should take care of themselves. But I think, yeah, there's growing up, because these days we reminisce with my siblings about the days back then. You know, the good old days. Mm. When many things were not there, right? Mm. Things of convenience. I'm not even talking about things of affluence, but things of convenience, like for mobile phones, or that make life, I think, a little easier, that make communication a little easier. When those things were not there, we don't say, oh, it was a disaster that we didn't have these things. I mean, growing up way back in the 70s, 80s, yeah, you there were things we didn't have, basics, right, in this country. But that's all changed now. And you begin to take it for granted that you can walk over to a grocery store, supermarket, and buy bread or buy milk or buy all those things. But even having gone through those times, there's still a beauty to reminisce about, and how growing up, you know, at Makerere, we didn't have walls around, perimeter walls around our houses, and I think that's one thing that that we all miss. The people who, if you grew up and you didn't have perimeter walls, I think that's one thing that's changed, that's making society here a little more individualistic, that people don't really know their neighbors. I think there have been changes, right, over time, which impacts society.
The society.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so then when our societies change and our social interactions change, then we become totally somehow different people. So when this change happens, like in Uganda, some people don't understand, like, people think like, oh, in Uganda, people are like sleeping on trees there with gorillas and like, you know, it's like you're in the jungle. And so that's why I was asking, like, if to show like there's other things other than like the wildlife, like people, they have shoes, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think if people still think that way about Africa, clearly they need to visit and see what is here. I mean, I think things have really changed a lot. You know, one could say, I could be seated in Africa and also say the same thing of, for example, certain tribal groups in the Pacific Islands or something like that. We shouldn't be too quick to judge people who still think like that. Because if you asked me about a certain tribal group in a remote Pacific island, I might assume that there's a certain way their society operates. But if I actually went there, the truth is it's probably totally different. So I think having an experience of a place is what helps you understand that society better and understand the, you know, where they've come from and what life is like in those places. So absolutely, I think, yeah, people should, if people still think that's how Africa is, they definitely should come and visit.
So
thank
you. And so then, like, we'll move on to something more. You said you're a doctor, right?
Yeah.
And so when you see patients, like, and they're like, sometimes they don't have the life that, like, you can't do anything for them, right?
Yeah.
And every time you see them, or sometimes you can do something, how do you remain hopeful and peaceful in such a situation where sometimes they're not doing well and sometimes they're like, life is not going to be the way we should, like,
I mean, it's interesting that you asked this question, because I think the other day we were seeing patients and we were looking at a CT scan image and I just realized that, you know, I don't know, 20 years ago, like 20 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to look at an image, CT scan image, or I probably wouldn't be looking at an image of an MRI, right? But now you just need to have some money, right? And I think that's a whole different conversation. But I think we've come a long, long way. We've yeah, things have certainly changed in Uganda or in Africa. I'm not saying totally, right? But I think a lot of the countries now, in terms of their healthcare systems, you know, there's, it's way much better than it used to be. I think back then in the day, all you could be able to do was a chest X-ray. And if somebody had, you know, something going on with their brain, you just make assumptions about what's going on. But now there's the ability to do more than just make assumptions. Now, I think for me that tells me things are improving. And obviously the most important thing, I think, is to make sure that that a country maintains stability in terms of, you know, political leadership and an economy that's growing. I think once you have those two things in place, and security, those two, three things in place, you know, there's going to be natural progression to things improving, right? And I think that gives me hope. There are things which are certainly better. You don't have to look very far, you know, if you think about HIV, for example, and, you know, way back when we thought antiretroviral drugs were only available for people in the West or, you know, to people that had money. I think those things are changing. But it boils down to one, an ability to work with other people, obviously. That's important. I don't think a country can grow in isolation. I think that ability to work, which I think has helped over the years. So there's hope. There's a book by Hans Rosling called Factfulness. A very interesting book that he wrote before he died. But it's very, you know, in that book, I think he talks about the assumptions we make around what we hear in the media and how terrible things are and how bad they are becoming. But if you actually look at the facts, the truth is things are improving. And maybe that's what for countries, especially around Africa, I think that's what we need to look at. We need to look at those. Yeah, there's probably, yes, there are parameters that, you know, the World Bank or, you know, finance people would say these are the parameters you look at. But there's also the real parameters of that impact people directly. And looking at those over the years, over the last 20, 30, 40 years around Africa, I think you will definitely see that things are changing for the better. So,
I would agree, like how life has changed. Like, I remember when I just started, in Makerere University, and we did not use computers. Now we use computers to work.
Yeah.
And the research capacity has improved.
It's changing.
And that helps us to see more people.
Yeah.
So there's so many things that have changed, and that's the reason why I was doing this podcast, because there's some myths and assumptions about what Uganda is or what Africa is, and everything is not doom and gloom.
Absolutely. That is true, definitely. Yeah.
And so then we'll move on to hope, because I think hope is one of the things, and depression levels are going up everywhere.
Yeah.
And so to you, how do you keep hopeful? What are some of the ways that you use to keep doing what you do and keep loving your family and to stay in the community and be a helpful member of the community?
Well, I mean, I think it starts with, you know, just being grateful that, grateful that you have life, grateful that that you have family, grateful that you have friends, and grateful that you can, that you have the opportunity to impact other people's lives. I think without gratitude, it becomes very difficult to even think tomorrow will be better, right? But I think that's where it starts from, that you're grateful for what you have today and what you can do today. And you know, you also, I think that's what creates the sort of that attitude of looking forward, right? are looking forward that things will get. It, of course, it doesn't mean that even in the middle of being grateful for everything you do, you have, it doesn't mean, you know, bad things don't happen. Things you don't, you do, you would not have wanted to go wrong will still go wrong. But I think it's also about looking past that and thinking that tomorrow will be a better day. And so because tomorrow will be a better day, you have to do what you have to do. One, to see it, and two, to be able to have those things that you're hoping for. And you know, the Bible talks about faith being the substance of things you hope for. And yeah, somebody once told me that, is a friend of mine, that he was talking to some friends, I think he had moved to Sweden, he was talking to some friends about, they were talking about health insurance, you know, and he said to them that, oh, you know, in Uganda, of course this is way back in the day, that in Uganda people don't take out health insurance. And so they asked him, how does that work, you know? And he says, oh, people just depend on God. And they really wanted to know how that works. But, I think people here have hope. Sometimes I think when you're at the bottom, you can't despair anymore, yes. You know? And so there's only one direction to look. And I think for many societies and many people in Africa, things are challenging, things are tough, and you look to the future, you don't quite see, you know, where change is going to come from. But I think you still have to have hope for tomorrow, the day after. And I think it just keeps on building to the day after and the day after and the day after. We can obviously do better. There are many, many, many areas where I think we should be improving faster than we are, right? Basic services, things around the selfishness of corruption and the tendency to not think about tomorrow and how some of the things you're doing will impact other people. Especially if you're in the public service sector, and how you serve other people, and it's many, many things.
Yes, thank you. I think you've talked around about so many things about how you keep grateful and hopeful, and but also you talk about something very interesting about not being selfish and being able to serve other people with an open heart, and also the role of community in our lives.
Yeah.
And so this is so much, they are very interesting things that help us to become who we are and also define our values, right?
Absolutely.
So I think we'll end with this. Would you please tell us something that keeps you do every day, or something that helps you to be to just keep going, if you have a story to tell us or something
Yes. I don't know whether there's a particular one that comes to mind, but I think, you know, the maybe one good one is just, we get research funding, we do research. I think for me, it's always pleasant, you know, to see the impact that research, and particularly clinical research that we do, has in the lives of the people that we work with as research participants. You know, the opportunity and the ability to support certain aspects of their care which they otherwise wouldn't have had, in the context of obviously conducting research. I think for me that's the one thing I really love about doing research. It's, you know, it's nice to obviously publish papers, change guidelines, and so, but I think coming back down to that one individual who consents to working with you, and how their lives can potentially be changed or saved, for that matter. I think I think that just makes what I do really interesting. And then, of course, the other thing is to remember, you know, that I have been taught by others or mentored by others, and seeing where I am right now, I think that helps me make sure that I try and invest time in younger people as well, who will come after I have left. So I think those are the things that I think are really interesting to pursue and help you pursue every day. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Anything that you want to tell our listeners?
For those who've never been to Africa, you need to come visit.
Yeah, not anywhere in Africa, Uganda, right?
Uganda particularly, yes.
Thank you, Dr. Meyer.